Good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, April the 23rd, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. As you will notice, if you're new with us, and I hope we have a lot of new friends that are coming alongside and jumping into this Easter series on 1 John, our pattern is fairly decided. It's not a rut, it's a groove. It begins with consecration, which moves into transformation, which becomes demonstration. And we always enter in with our prayer of consecration. And it's, trust me, this is not just emotion. This is the movement. The movement of the Christian life is wake up, sleeper. That's the call to consecration. Rise from the dead. That's the invitation into transformation. Transformation is not the movement from good to great. It's the movement from death to life. This is not a self-improvement program. This is a transformation, transcendent formation. It comes from God. That's when we have to begin with consecration. We want to get ourselves into the hands of God, into the management of Jesus Christ, into the supervising, orienting, guidance and governance of the Holy Spirit. We start with consecration. We're not bringing anything but offering ourselves. And then, of course, consecration leads to transformation, leads to demonstration. This is where we get our seeds and hit the fields for the day to actually do, become the love of God, do the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, for a great awakening. So, are you ready? I'm trying to think about our new people who are joining us. Here's our prayer of consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled The Antidote to Self-Deception. Our text is 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. The longer I live, the more I realize we human beings have an almost limitless capacity to deceive ourselves. In other words, sin may not be our biggest problem. I'm beginning to think our biggest problem is the way we deceive ourselves about sin. I'll go first. Like you, I probably wouldn't come out and claim to be without sin. My problem is the way I have slowly adopted patterns of sin in my life that I don't even see as sin anymore. They have become my normal. For instance, I remember a time in my past when I was a fiercely analytical, point out the problem kind of person. I considered it a gift. I had what I considered the spiritual gift of figuring out what was wrong with just about anything and anyone, including you. One day, by the mercy of God, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I had a critical spirit. What I had normalized as the gift of critical analysis was actually the sin of a critical spirit. Translation: I was self-deceived. I hurt people with impunity. The bottom line: this was a failure to love. In my judgment, John's greatest gift to us will be the ability to understand sin through the lens of our relationships rather than through the metrics of our personal performance. Lots more on that to come. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Here's a walking around prayer as we walk this way with John. It's something of an antidote to self-deception. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. See what I mean? More on this tomorrow. The prayer. Lord Jesus, I confess I am a sinner. Now, would you help me to actually confess my sins? And not just the outward behaviors, but also the inward dispositions and broken ways of my life. Help me understand sin not as my failure to live up to my standards, or even yours, but as my failure to love you and other people. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. The journal prompts. What is the difference between identifying yourself as a sinner and actually confessing your sins? We're going to sing here in a minute. This hymn just has come to me as worked through today's entry. It's an old Charles Wesley hymn. It's not that well known. It's called I Want a Principle Within. It's number 313 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. It's really got some wisdom in it. I Want a Principle Within, number 313. If you want to go ahead and get turned there in your hymnal. If you're new to us, we sing every day on here. We sing a hymn. We have a hymnal that we've made at Seedbed called Our Great Redeemer's Praise. We'd love to send you a copy of it. You can see the link in today's email right there in the hymn section. And get one in the mail to yourself. We are, at least I am, and I think many of you are, you know, we love the great hymns, not just for the past, but for the present and the future. And they've been slowly disappearing from our worship services. We're singing mostly, in many churches, mostly we're singing songs that have been written from about 1990, even 2000, 2010, 2020. We're singing recent songs, and those songs are great. Nothing bad to say about that. It's just we've left behind the treasure trove of the great hymnody of the church, and we've got to recover it. There's so much wisdom and glory and depth in them. So that's one of the things we do on here on the Wake Up Call every morning is we sing a hymn. And I hear you out there singing with me too. So a couple of thoughts here. First, these entries, you notice, are shorter. I know it's easy to get a little bit longer and a little bit longer and a little bit longer, and I've just decided, you know what, let's get a little bit shorter. Less can be more, especially when you're in these kind of deep waters. So there's that. you know, this notion of sin, capital, there's capital S sinner and sin. And then there's little s sins. And I don't know about you, but I probably spent most of my Christian life focusing on the little s sins. And I would say that I've missed the deeper wisdom of understanding capital S sin. You see, capital S sin is what we were born with. Let's think of it like the cancer. We were born with the sickness of sin. And then the little s sins are the symptoms of the big S sickness sin. And it's so easy, and I think I probably have thought this for the longest time, that I'm actually a sinner because I sin. And I've learned that's just not true. Here's the truth. I'm not a sinner. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin and I sin because I am and you are and we are sinners. This is our condition. This is the sickness that we're born with, whether we feel it or not. You know, for some of us, it can be like lung cancer. And immediately it's kind of manifesting itself in all sorts of broken sickness and symptoms. But for others of us, it can be like colon cancer. And we don't even know we have it because the symptoms aren't really showing up. But we all have it. This is the revealed truth of Scripture. All have sinned. All are sinners, none righteous, not one. And so what we have to have is the actual chemotherapy of the blood of Jesus to heal us, to cleanse us, to save us from sin, capital S, S-I-N. On the cross, he died to our sin. And now, given that he has died to our sin, we have become dead to sin. Like, we are actually cured. And then the issue becomes actually dealing with the symptoms. This is what John is going to tell us. You're going to see it unfold so plainly and clearly. He's going to say soon, I write to you so that you will not sin, which is probably the most ignored verse in the whole Bible. But he's saying, you know, probably what I've been doing, what you've been doing, is we just been treating the symptoms. We just go in there and get some over-the-counter treatment drugs and try to take them and mask the symptoms. We try to convince ourselves that we're not as bad as the next person, that our sins aren't really that bad. And that's what I'm getting at today. It's called self-deception. And we actually slowly just normalize sins. It's just, oh, that's just how I am. That's just who I am. That's just what I'm like. It's okay. I'm not that bad. But we're missing the whole point. If we haven't dealt with the cancer of sin, the sickness by the blood of Jesus, this is where you confess that I am a sinner and I have fallen short. I am fallen short. By nature of being born into this world, I have it. And I need to be cleansed, healed, saved, forgiven from my sin. And then, you know, the Bible says, because of Jesus' death on the cross, sin has lost its power. And that we have actually got the freedom to live beyond all those symptoms. That's what sanctification is. Well, that's a lot to get to. This is Wednesday, okay? It's hump day. It's appropriate we get into the deep stuff today. But I just want to start tracking this out. This is the wisdom and the logic of 1 John. Let's sing now. 313. And this is it. I want a principle within. Three verses. I want a principle within of watchful godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. I want the first approach to feel of pride or wrong desire, to catch the wandering of my will and quench the kindling fire. From thee that I no more may stray, no more thy goodness grieve. Grant me the filial awe, I pray, the tender conscience give. Quick as the apple of an eye, O God, my conscience make. Awake my soul when sin is nigh, and keep it still awake. Almighty God of truth and love, to me thy power impart. The mountain from my soul remove, the hardness from my heart. O may the least omission pain my reawakened soul, and drive me to that blood again which makes the wounded whole. Amen. Did you see all that's going on in that hymn alone? This is the antidote to self-deception. That's that prayer, that Jesus prayer that I put in today's entry. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Right? We got to cut back to the bottom line. I sin because I'm a sinner, so have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, where that's going to lead us is, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a son, a daughter. You see, this is where we begin to get free. And of course, where that leads is, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a saint, a holy one. You see, it takes more mercy to be a son or a daughter than a sinner. And it takes more mercy even to be a saint than a son or a daughter. This is the path we're on, guys. Consecration, transformation, becoming demonstration. And the demonstration is simply the radiance of the Son of God in us, moving about in this world, doing the things he does, saying the kinds of things he says, becoming attentive and attuned to others in the way that he is actually doing it in us. This is not some sort of a, you know, self-improvement program. This is not some sort of a moralistic paradigm that we're just trying harder to do more, to be better. No, this is transcendent formation. This is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, being formed in us, his personhood moving in our personality. All right. It's time to hit the fields today. That's a lot. That's a lot on Wednesday, but you're up for it. So get your seeds and be ready all day long. A lot of people out there be trying to get over the hump today. You're going to help them. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.